Okay.
Lime. Duh. Wah, 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 wah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Whoa. Let's do it again, baby. Hello. Oh, whoa. Oh, whoa. Whoa. Woo. Woo. Chest chop. Woo. Bro. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. Oh, I am your host, the host with the most.
I gotta tell you, you are one weird dude.
Dan Black, a.k.a. Dunsky, Black Kamara, a.k.a.
Mount Rushmore.
Donnie Wrestling. Donnie Wrestling. A.k.a. Donnie Capri from that time I went to Italy.
Now shake those hips. And let the bad ball slip.
A.k.a. the modern day goof. Raja.
No more Mr. Nice Jew.
Coming at you like Cleopatra. Baby, baby. Let's take a quantum leaf. Gabba, gabba, wee.
Gabba, gabba, wee. Gabba, gabba, gay.
Gabba, gabba,
gabba, gabba, gabba, wee.
Gabba, gabba, gabba,
gabba, gabba, gabba, wee.
Gabba, gabba, gabba,
gabba, gabba.
Shock the system.
Yeah, coming at you. Wait, where am I at in this? Oh, my God. I went real rogue today. The cold brew is hitting me. This girl, she's mine. And
holy motherfucking shit.
She's fine. What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy, spicy wrestling reactions.
Erase your mind.
Hey, man, we got a lot to get into. And before we do it, let me introduce the man to my front. He is back in studio. He's decided to show up. Nasty Newman in studio.
How about it?
Wow, he's angry.
I'm not scared of you motherfuckers.
Wow, he's angry. Oh, my God.
Damn right.
Oh, my God. Get off the table.
Got a can of whoop ass.
All right.
Open up a can of whoop ass.
Wow. All right, Nasty Newman, how's it going?
It's fucking fine.
It's
fine?
Thank
you for asking.
I got something to cool you down. Crack one.
I mean, it's just like...
Just crack one.
3 weeks in a row and...
Yeah, what flavor?
Lime. Duh.
Now, take a sip of that. Put you at ease instantly. That's a dying product right there.
Yeah.
In free fall. Hey, also in studio, we have the First Lady of Cal, now a resident of Los Angeles, California, Erin Finnerty.
Gabba gabba wee.
Gabba gabba wee.
Gabba gabba wee.
Gabba gabba.
Hey, welcome.
Can I do this now?
Yeah, crack it. Put it up to the mic, though. What flavor?
Lime. Duh.
Yeah, dime, duh.
Dime,
dime,
love.
Duh. I think
dime,
I'm dyslexic. Love. I can't get it. Dime, law. Anyway, remember, this is a professional wrestling podcast, and I promise we will be covering all things professional wrestling. We're going to get into it. Now, I want to say, if you're a fan of this podcast, you want to support this podcast, head over to our Patreon, patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. Get access to our full bonus archives of bonus episodes. Today, we have a bonus episode going up. You can listen to it right now for Fast Five, the Vin Diesel vehicle.
Yeah.
Also, the Rock movie. This is the first appearance of the Rock in the Fast and Furious franchise, I believe.
I believe so.
I think he has a cameo at the end of part four.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's in the post-credit sequence with Eva Mendes.
It's also the transitional point from car movie to heist movie.
From humans to full-blown action.
Right.
Heroes.
That's very clear. This movie is like very clearly an Ocean's 11 movie. Anyway, you can check out our bonus episode. We'll be dissecting that and rating it out of 5 moos. Cool. And also, remember to rate and subscribe. Give this podcast 5 stars. We deserve it. We got a lot more listeners than ratings. Go on there. It takes 1 second. It's free. Hit 5 stars. Write a review. These guys rock. I need more, baby. Do that. Cool. Hey. Man. What? Where do we even begin? I gotta tell you, I watched a lot of wrestling this week.
Can I just drop this piece of news?
Yeah.
So my girlfriend's dad was visiting last week from Oklahoma.
Yeah, Newman, that's not news.
And
for the podcast,
this is wrestling related.
Oh, okay. All right. I mean, mm-hmm. just you keep doing this, or you keep talking about your visitors like they're uh-huh. news. It's a little too personal for the pot.
Look. last time I talked about me and my mailman hanging out, I don't see how that's not news.
You said you were striking up a nice relationship between you and your mailman.
Yeah.
He's a visitor. He's yeah. a daily visitor.
He visits every day, yeah. except for Sunday.
Yeah.
Anyway, so my girlfriend's dad, not a wrestling fan. He's 62 years old.
Okay.
Basically, his idea of like what wrestling is like carny bullshit, right? Which is not wrong.
Right.
But I decided to show him TakeOver 25 because I had to watch it anyway. I was like, hey, Rich, do you mind if we watch this? He's like, no, let's do it.
This is your first time watching it? Or no?
It was my first time seeing
it
with him.
No, should we crank my headphones up?
And suffice to say, his mind was blown.
Yeah.
He kept saying, this is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And then it got to the ladder match. I said, ooh, the ladder match. He's like, what's a ladder match? I said, you're about to find out, but it's where the belts hang above the ring and they have to climb a ladder to get it. He's like, stop, you're lying to me. I'm like, no.
Well, that wow. I mean, he hasn't watched wrestling at all.
He was in disbelief.
If he didn't know what a ladder match is.
So he's like, this is fucking crazy. I'm like, yes, you get it now. Then he leaves, goes back to Oklahoma. 2 days ago, he sends me an email, and he's like, looks like WWE is going to be the Chesapeake Center in July. Do you want to come out to Oklahoma? We can go to this WWE show. I turned this man into a mark.
Creating marks. I mean, did you talk about the podcast?
I did. He asked me about it. We chatted about it for a long time. Very interested. This is, I am a wrestling missionary.
Okay.
I just saved a soul.
That's beautiful. I mean, that's always, if it's very hard to do, as a matter of fact, it's something I've given up on. And also, it's not my goal at all.
Right.
Actually,
right.
I one time went on a podcast called like Make Me Like This or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
My friend's podcast. And it was about, they were like, oh, talk about wrestling, right? Like what I do on every fucking podcast.
Sure.
And I was like, I came in right away just being, look, guys, I just want to say, I don't care if you walk away liking this thing or not. I like this for me and all the fucking cool people know what's up, but I don't need to be convincing people to like it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I didn't even really set out to like convince him. It was just like, hey, you're here. We have one TV. I need to watch this. You know, you don't mind if I put it on? And he like stuck around and watched.
That's great.
And yeah, it converted, fully converted.
I think this like, and talking about converting people, I was talking about this week at professional wrestling, why I said like, where do I even begin? Yeah. I mean, I watched so much fucking wrestling this week. Yeah. It was insane. I watched Raw, SmackDown. I watched all of Dominion. I watched a lot of Super Showdown. NXT.
18 hours.
I watched NXT TakeOver again.
Yeah.
Also.
Extra credit.
Yeah, extra credit. I was showing a friend the main event. Ended up watching a lot more of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, then I think I watched Ronda Rousey 24. I mean, does that count as wrestling?
Yes.
It does.
Yeah. So, I mean, And this is not even counting any AEW stuff, which hasn't even started yet, right? Like, I think it's, I just keep thinking about, like, this being the calm before the storm of, like, especially for the pod.
Yeah.
Ooh, what? First off, we can't even cover all of it now. I mean, hey, look, if people hit that Patreon hard, man, and we'll do an app every day of the week. You know what I mean? If we, I'll talk about wrestling 8 hours a day.
Yeah,
I'll do a full work week. You know,
I'll gladly work 31 days in a row if my work is talking about professional wrestling.
Yeah,
easy.
So I'm saying, like, if we, I'm like, all right, if we have an AEW day, AEW Mondays, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Raw Tuesdays, SmackDown Thursdays, Chronicle Fridays, NXT, I don't know.
Table for three Saturdays,
bring it to the table, leap year,
WWE bloopers, 2 Out for TV, hosted by Jerry, Springer, Sundays.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, it was like, oh, well, what, everything, so much of the stuff feels like top of my list to talk about. But anyway, before we get into it, I want to address something outside of the world of the ring, okay? Mm-hmm. Which is that, and look, I hate giving this too much time on the podcast, but it has to happen. I apologize to the new listeners, but I was attacked in my home. I don't know if you saw this. I was going live on the page to talk merch because they put out these new Mineral Wash NXT shirts. Mm. You saw.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
They're dope. And I wanted to talk to everyone about it. The Velveteen Dream shirt I thought was a much must-buy piece of merch, especially a guy who's been really dying for a spicy piece. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you can check that out. And I'm a big fan of wrestling shirts with, right now I'm rocking the...
It's a full Goldberg shirt.
I can feel that shirt from here.
Yeah, well, this shirt is I think I'm paying tribute to a dead career, which I think we'll get into in a little bit. Yeah. Or many people would say a career that never began.
Yeah. But, stillborn career.
But I love a shirt that has the wrestler on it. Like, I like a NASCAR full obnoxious shirt.
Right.
Because I feel like I'm not trying to hide fandom. Right. I'm going full on, like, look at this piece. Yeah. I want a full on. Well, the first shirts I liked were those like full ones with lightning on it, with like it'd be like a huge bust of Shawn Michaels or whatever. Is it a bust if it's non sculpted?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Sure. Good. Can we get that out of the pod? No. Okay, that's staying. But so anyway, point is, I was talking merch on the pod. I was making a purchase, and then I was attacked by the masked man known as the Cow Hunter in my home. He snuck in through the back door, which I will immediately foolishly say I left unlocked, I believe, because I didn't see any breaking entering points.
Fatal error.
Yeah. And he snuck up behind me. I left out a 12-pack of LaCroix, which I was going to bring for you guys, and bashed me over the head with it, choked me out. And, now I just want to say it's time to take control of this because I'm sick of these sneak attacks. All right, and he could show up. By the way, Aaron, he could show up here today.
Right, and I'm positioned in front of the door.
So. Yeah. So don't worry.
It's a chance you take.
But you're tough. You'll be all right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is any comfort because the fact that you're in front of the door really doesn't matter. I hesitate to call him a man. I don't even know if this guy's human. He can just appear places.
Yeah.
So door, no door, doesn't matter, apparently.
We all have to keep our guard up, to be honest, in this room.
But I just want to say that I think this thing ends. I think if what you want is a title shot, listen, man, you fucking got it, okay? And I'm going to set the date right here, right now. I've submitted to UCB a slot at the Del Close Marathon Improv Festival coming up, and they've agreed to take a gap and give us a time to take all from the improv to fucking settle this thing because they've been sick of this guy breaking into the building here, into their property. And I was like, I think we could settle this one way. So during the nighttime slots, 1:50 a.m. Pacific Standard Time in the morning at DCM. It'll be labeled as an other show, I believe they're called. The Cow Heavyweight title. I'm going to put it on the line if you want to accept it. If not, we're going to do improv. If you don't want to do it, we're going to do a Herald. You know, if not, then we'll just do Cow Herald night or whatever, and I'll just wear trunks and we'll do improv.
Yeah.
But, so hey, this is out there because this thing fucking ends. You want the title? Come take me, man. And that's it.
Do you need me
June 29th, Saturday. But 1:50 in the morning, so Friday night.
The very beginning of
Saturday. If you live in LA, you can get tickets and you can be there. And we'll talk about how if you want to see it, you'll be able to see it. That's all I'll say.
This guy is dastardly.
I can't believe we're not even talking about wrestling.
Have you considered getting like a special referee?
I got to cool down.
For this situation. Oh,
what flavor?
This one?
Dime, duh. Have you considered getting a...
I'm so worked up. I know, you're drooling.
I
got to say, this is a delicious beverage.
It's very good.
It's so good.
I was so worked up a second ago, and we're not sponsored at all by this.
The lime flavor is very natural. It doesn't taste like a chemical lime.
No, it does not taste like a chemical, even though it's made perfectly with chemicals.
Natural flavor.
Yeah, that's the equivalent of chemicals.
That can be bugs. Yeah.
Right.
Have you considered getting a special referee for this match?
I have. Mm-hmm. I have, but nothing. The match is not official.
Okay.
So I've talked to some people.
Because you might need somebody in there that has your back.
I've talked to some people. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'll be honest. Dolph Ziggler I've talked to not the champion. Could have been the champion, Dolph Ziggler. my opinion, his attitude got in the way, I think, of him, you know, I think, and I'm trying to talk him out of having a better attitude. But, he knows about it, but there's no match. I told him there's no match, and he's not interested in watching the improv.
Okay.
So he might be
He's a stand-up guy. They don't like improv.
And who knows? He might have to wrestle overseas or something. Look, June Friday night, but technically Saturday morning, 1:50 a.m. after maybe Alex Fernie's champagne room. Yeah. Or I don't know what it's going to be a goofy show before it, but then the fight gets going.
Yeah.
And I'll put it all on the line, and I'll be there. You know I'll be rocking trunks, let's do this thing.
Is it here at Sunset, possibly?
Here at UCB Sunset.
All right, I'll be here.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, so that. Okay, now that's a negative thing, but I just want to get it to the positive. I just want to say, just shout out to this community. I mean, I know we say it a bunch, but I really think we have the best community of professional wrestling fans on the planet. If you're not a member of our Facebook page, I don't know what are you doing, but many listeners are not on the Facebook page.
That's weird. Don't sleep on the Facebook page. It's part of the experience.
Absolutely.
4D experience.
It's part of the Cal 4D / become, who knows? By the time I'm done with it, it'll be the Cal 8D experience. And join the Facebook group. It's awesome. I just want to say, the messages I get from you guys, so fucking awesome. I met with somebody in the Facebook group this week who offered to help me out with my short film about professional wrestling. It was bringing their expertise and how everybody lends their talents to what we're doing here. Like Aaron here runs our social media and actually the studio. Yes. I also had something small. Like one of our patrons this week lost their job and was like, hey, I had to drop the Patreon, but I'll be back the second I get a job. And you're like, hey, man, I get it. I've been there. Exactly. It's just that kind of personal touch. It's like, I'm just so grateful for you guys. And so I wanted to give back to you guys. And one of our listeners, R.W. Hellborn, has an album coming out.
Nice.
From his band, Riverside Odds. It's out right now. You can listen to it on Spotify and wherever you get your albums.
Awesome.
And it's called Get Into It. A complete, active, awesome member of this community. And I think this is something I'll keep doing. If you guys are making artistic stuff and you support mine, I'm happy to support yours. So check out his album, Riverside Odds. Get Into It. It's out now. Peep it. Cool? Mm-hmm. So that's positive stuff to counteract the cow hunter, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get into pro wrestling because there's a million things to discuss. I want to get right into talking about Super Showdown quick.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about Goldberg versus Undertaker. Mm-hmm. So here's the deal with Super Showdown. I saw a good amount of it. I said last week I wasn't gonna watch it, and I didn't. Friday night I didn't watch it Friday during the day. I was getting texts about it too. It was really tempting because I actually was able to turn it on. And I was like, you know what? I can't stream this and give them their numbers because I felt morally weird about it, right? But it was matches I cared about. Then I went to a party Saturday night and people put it on. And I was like, all right, I could watch. There's no real, I'm not a hero. Right. You know what I mean? And then also when I was, so I watched it. But I just want to also say, when I was watching it, I was really thinking about, I go back and forth on this thing about watching it, supporting it and whatnot. But when I saw I see all the kids going fucking nuts. There were kids when they saw Undertaker crying.
Yeah.
Hysterically, they were, you could see, you can't fake this excitement that was happening there. There was something about it to me where I was like, look, these are people on an individual level that are not their government.
Right.
You know what I mean? That I do buy, I felt.
Dubai?
I do. Hey.
Around Mushmore.
Yeah.
Erase your mind.
Okay. But I do think that I do think I kind of not warmed up this is some beautiful thing.
Don't get worked.
I some beautiful thing, but I did feel hey, these people are getting something out of it, and there is, I don't know. I warmed up to it too a little bit. Now, does that mean I'm going to watch the next one when it's on live? I don't know. But where, you know what I mean?
So here's the thing. I think that if WWE went into Saudi Arabia and just put on their own shows illegally to bring the product to the people, instead of being a circus act booked by the government, then they would deserve the pats on the back that they're giving themselves for changing things or pushing progress. So I don't have a problem with them trying to fix things or like push progress in a regressive, in a country with a really regressive government and regressive policies. But it's not like they're not just booked by that same government that's doing that. Had they gone in like pirate radio style, like we're WWE, we're going to put on a show, we're going to have the fucking government trying to shut it down, and it was more like that, then I would be okay with it.
Sure, but like you're saying, there's no merit to literally bringing just even just as simple as like bringing a smile to the people's face. That like is, there's a lot of, and it wasn't, by the way, this show didn't have like the sheiks. Right. That's so ignorant. They're not sheiks. I did that last time also. Yeah. Whoever, the royalty, it wasn't just royalty around right. the ring this time. It was legitimately fans. Now, that's probably because it was like 120 degrees and they were in the air conditioning.
Sure. Yes, no doubt.
It's probably what really happened.
I think that that's incidental, collateral joy.
Sure, collateral, but I don't take it as hard of a stand. I really do think there is... I do think this thing, it's like, look, we're conflating issues a little bit. Like, there is some part of it. I know you're right, but there is some part of it like, hey, we can't change everything overnight, right? And we can't, and maybe we're not even responsible for changing this government. Maybe we could take some money from them, taking money and put some smiles on these kids' faces or spark whoever the kid there who's the actual, like, this prince who pretends to be, he's, like, the most progressive thing right. in the world, and then he's executing journalists.
Honestly,
you spark something in him, it's like, this culture is better. There is some merit there.
I agree. And right. and I think that it is a different, it was, I didn't become as hardline until the, like, Khashoggi murder. That was like really, because before they had the show, before that happened, and then that, and it was like, this culture is, or this government is ridiculously regressive in 2019, in 2018.
Well, and they have kayfabe progressiveness.
That's
also part of the problem.
And so that was one thing. But then when they literally murdered somebody, and then they went back in, it's like, oh, you're not taking a stand for anything. You're there for the money, and you get to say, oh, look how happy the kids are look, we're changing things. But it's like, come on, maybe I'm just cynical.
Right. I don't know if anyone's being tricked. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, when you actually think about what we're talking about, I'm not sure. It's like, we're all subscribers to the network anyway. I'm not sure anyone is like, oh, wow, Saudi Arabia, I think I'm going to invest there. Like, right. or like, what have yeah. you, like, I don't think anyone's being tricked by it. But like, the one thing I know is that, like, when you saw these kids, all I'm just saying is that that was something I was like, I don't see American kids doing what these kids were, like, shivering. Right. They were like yes. jumping up and down. Like, they couldn't believe, like, I'm seeing Seth Rollins.
Well, during Raw and SmackDown, they showed the little, like, video in between of right. the kids talking about how much joy it brought them. And it feels a little manipulative, I think, just to show kids only having yeah. a right. joyful experience. But, I mean, you know, it is nice to bring that joy to those kids. But I do think that WWE is using it to kind of sell us, like, oh, this is okay. But
yeah. here's why it's...
But here's do you think WWE is doing that? Like, do you think WWE is actively saying, like... Like, they have any goals? I think they're kind of like, they're like, hey, everyone, like, this is a cash grab for
well, I
us.
Think
you
that
know?
It's pretty clear that they know that it's bad because they stop basically saying Saudi during the shows. Right. You know, it's a worldwide global event.
Right.
It's bigger than this. It's bigger than that. I think before, you know, they mentioned Jeddah and stuff, but I think before the murder occurred, they were much more clear about, like, oh, this is a Saudi Arabia show.
Well, before the
now
murders,
they bury it, kind of.
Vince would be in the ring with the prince.
Right.
And they'd be, they held up a belt that they made, a title that they made just for the show.
Right.
But so at one point they did a 50-man battle royale and they had a Saudi wrestler win.
Yeah.
And these people went fucking
insane. I saw that.
You know? I don't know. Anyway, listen, you guys know where I stand on this. I'm still conflicted about it.
Same.
I'm just worried that I'm conflating these issues of like and diminishing the individual value of the people who are gaining that entertainment from it. Even if they got the escape from their completely terrible government, I'm giving them more credit that they know, like, hey, they're paying to manipulate me here. And although I don't know, right? The prince is really popular. All right, look, we're getting that.
I just think the last thing I'll say. I think that If here's what would make it better in my eyes, if they were a little bit more self-aware and had like somebody go out and cut a promo on like, you don't even let women drive in this country. You don't even have somebody take them to task.
Who would do that?
I don't know.
Zane would do that. He's not even there.
Exactly.
He's the critic of the critics.
Because he's not allowed to be there because he's Syrian.
Yeah.
How ridiculous.
No, that's actually the one, the main argument for me is that not even letting Sammy wrestle is, that's something WWE should really push back on.
It's like, but again, cut a promo on the country. Grow some whatever genitals represent power to you.
Sure.
Okay, look. Listen. All right. Newman.
No more Mr. Nice Jew!
That's you. Sounds like that's you. Okay, but we've talked about this a million times, so let's talk about the wrestling aspect of it, okay? Let's cool it down for a sec, okay? What can I do to cool it down in here? Let's see. Okay, what do I got? All right. Man, everything on this board is so aggressive. Oh, here, I got something to cool us down. All right, everybody, take in a deep breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Okay, everybody.
I feel better already.
Yeah. Everybody cool down. Oh, wait, how about this? USA.
Yeah.
John Cena. Okay, so let's talk about this Goldberg-Taker match. So yeah.
I saw some GIFs.
All right, I had to watch this match twice just to take it in. Now, I want to say one thing. The thing that bothers me the most about probably the most because I'm such a mark, but it shouldn't bother me the most, is how amazing the pyro was. I mean, when Taker won, the pyro was bigger than WrestleMania pyro by far. Probably, I was sitting next to my buddy Brian Dipperstein, and when we were watching, he was like, that's 2 million in pyro right there.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if he knows, but I'm saying like that's the number that was getting thrown around for guesstimates. It was fucking nuts, and it looked so dope. It was outside. I was at Mania. The pyro was not at this level.
No, definitely not.
So that's and Taker's entrance, the best Taker entrance, full druids. With you know, torches. They also did what I was called, like, they did like marquee Taker entrance, like club marquee, whatever, like laser lights.
Right.
It was like blue laser lights. It was a very cool new Taker thing before the moon came up. Very beautiful. Goldberg got some great pyro.
Well, how was the reaction to Goldberg?
So I feel jealous. Jew. I'm saying I was jealous.
Yeah.
Oh, that's another thing. They were going Goldberg. They loved Goldberg. They went fucking
I take
nuts.
It back. The country's changed.
No more Mr. Nice Jew.
And by the way, that's the most text I ever got from people being like, yo, there's a sound drop on Raw. But yeah, so I'm just saying, I was jealous of the pyro.
Yeah.
It's annoying to watch this event and have it be more grandiose than WrestleMania that I pay to go to.
No kidding.
That's annoying. Okay, now. This Taker match, the entrances were dope. Undertaker drops Goldberg on his head after Tombstone. Now, his knees hit first. It looked bad. And then Goldberg gave a dangerous as fuck Tombstone. This was extremely uncomfortable to watch, and it was really dangerous. And, these guys... What do you do now if you're these guys? Because it's very clear they got to hang it up. Now, it was extremely hot in the ring. But if you're going to book these guys, they can't. Two old guys can't wrestle each other. It's got to be a young guy to carry them, right?
That or just change. I mean, I don't fucking know what this entails, but like, can't they just wrestle different? Like, can't they just not attempt this stuff and wrestle different? Like, isn't there a way? Like, Jericho just changed his... He does a fucking spinning elbow.
He's still doing the walls, and he's still doing code breakers.
Yeah,
he just did that to reinvent himself.
I know, but it's like, if you're the Undertaker, like, people are there to see your entrance, and they're there to see the tongue thing and the eyes. If you're Goldberg, they're there to see the fucking entrance, and they're there to see the fucking spear. These are all safe things that you can do. No one is asking for a tombstone from a fucking 100,000 year old man.
I think they are, though.
But what if they are?
I think if you, I think you're wrong. Like, I think like people will see Undertaker. If he's not doing a tombstone, then he might as well not wrestle. I think.
Well, then that's your answer.
And yeah, he shouldn't wrestle. But the problem is, the problem here is that there's a couple things I think about. People are not saying, it's like Taker is now getting like paycheck, like serious paychecks, and like Goldberg, these are serious paychecks. Now, I'm not saying they weren't paid before and they're not like set for life, but now, like, that's a problem with wrestling, I think, is that these guys are get offered money later.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're more valuable after they retire to come back.
Yeah.
And like,
especially for something like this, right, on such a big scale.
And so now Taker's backing himself into a corner because he won't retire, where it's how's he going to go? He can't go out on a high note now.
No.
It's actually impossible. And it, like, if he just hung it up and he said, guys, that match didn't go as planned. I told myself I'd go until I can't go. That's a fucking embarrassing way to retire for him, right?
Yeah.
For the best, one of the best wrestlers of all time.
I think there's a way he could retire on a high note. It just would require, it wouldn't require any wrestling. Like, they would have to have somebody write like an actual like end point for him where he's retired by somebody. Like if Aleister Black like black masked him and then he fucking put on his hat and he's a new
so
one.
Dude,
something, you know what I mean?
That's exactly what I said when I was watching Taker walk down to the ramp. Had a good 45-minute think.
Got up, went to the bathroom, came back.
Yeah.
I was sitting there and I'm this is me. I'm thinking, I'm looking at him when he's coming down to the ring. I'm like, so if you watch him walk down to the ring, he's limping. Like he can't even walk to the ring anymore. Now, I hate the leg shame. I fucking hate people are way too, ageism is something we haven't dealt with yet in society.
Sure. Right.
It's on the list, but we haven't been able to get there yet. I mean, you see it a lot. It will come up after this presidential election. We have the oldest candidates we've ever had running, you know? Right. It's going to be a big issue. But I hate when people like act like they're not going to get old. You know, like that young thing, like he's old, fucking old fart. I find it to be lazy humor, mostly perpetuated by unfunny people.
Yeah.
Who don't recognize mortality. Actual funny people are terrified by mortality, I believe, and don't fuck with it as much.
Right.
So when I was watching him, I was like, yo, think about what they do with Batman, right? They do like, they make Batman Beyond, right? They make like spawns. Like Undertaker has the chance right now to wrestle Aleister Black and then anoint him.
Right.
And maybe for a year, work him into the storyline. Like where a Taker's there talking to him. He enters with him and like he teaches him some magic spells. Or whatever the fuck.
I'm here for it, yeah.
Look, I'm not saying you have to want that because right, we can make the argument that Aleister Black is a whole different thing, which right, I'm fine with. Like he's going more of a... But I would argue from what the road I see that Aleister Black is taking... It's worse than if he was Taker's disciple.
Yeah.
I think he's going too far down the route of like I'm just looking to fight,
yeah,
which is right, not cool. It'll be fine. He'll be fine. He's such a talent. But you know what I mean? Like I was like, and then Taker, you could still make money by walking Aleister down to the ring, mm-hmm, and then maybe doing choke slams.
Yeah,
but he keeps perpetuating this, like his retirement. I watched him retire from the fourth row in Orlando. I watched it. You know, it's like, yeah, all right. So surprise. Anyway.
Surprise.
Right. Now, Goldberg, on the other hand, is a tragic figure. And, you know, look.
Did you see Matt?
The guy hits his head.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that right next. Guy bashes his head before he even comes to the ring. He's bleeding. Before he leaves the locker room, he's bleeding at his head. You're like, dude. But you know Goldberg does not love wrestling. You know what I mean? This is just a cash cow for him. Mm-hmm. So I have such a hard time blaming Goldberg for anything. Because like, it's like you're like telling the guy you suck when they don't want to be there.
Right.
Like, you know it.
Right, right, right.
So it's, you know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm here because you're paying me. So stop paying me and I won't right, show up. But anyway, he's bleeding. He came out. He bashed his head so hard into the cable. He's the I don't know what you call it, but it's like, what's the post? The ring post?
Yeah.
But I don't think it's the ring post. He hit like...
The turnbuckle?
The turnbuckle.
The exposed turnbuckle?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he might have hit... I think he hit his head against like that...
Doesn't he
the
hit...
The turnbuckle.
Doesn't he...
The post.
Wait, was it bleeding when he came out?
Yeah, but he hit it really hard and then it started to gush.
But he hits...
Gushing. And he concussed himself.
He hits himself... He hits himself in the head before it matches to psych himself up, right?
He hits his head against the door.
Look, here's the thing, guys. Let me. If you need to hit yourself in the head before you go to work, you get a new job. Like, if that's the way you need to motivate yourself, it's too much.
What
you think he got $1 million for that match? He probably got a $1 million check to main event that event. The money they were throwing around there.
Yeah.
He got it. Sure. Yeah. So, whatever. But then we almost watched these guys die.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah. So, anyway, Matt Riddle, I just want to say, so the positive of this thing is, I hope these guys, my thing is, I don't need to see these guys wrestle, either of them, ever again. No. Taker, what he needs to do is, what I would do if I'm him, is recognize and then find a way. You don't want to stop being around WWE. It's fine. We'll watch you enter forever.
Right.
You could be 80. I'll watch you enter. But you could find a way to put your ego in check and help one of these young talents. They're in need of help. They need help from someone who's so over.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, Matt Riddle takes to Instagram.
Yeah.
And just goes watch a Super Showdown and just fucking shoots. And he says, Goldberg's the worst wrestler in the history of professional wrestling. And then he eventually did take it down.
Yeah.
But I just want to say, Matt Riddle, which I've said on the record a million times, I think is the biggest star coming out of NXT for a lot of reasons. And this is part of it. He first off, from his UFC background, he is getting better at this business every day by just... Loose lips, man. Like, just fucking, he's just letting it fly, getting his real opinions out there. And he's not trying to make friends. WWE used to be not about making friends, right?
Right.
Be like, you're fucking, it's called going into business for yourself, right? And that's what he fucking did. And he's criticizing everybody. He wants to, right now he's planted the seeds that he wants to retire Brock Lesnar. Uh-huh. It's so smart. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, what did he say? He was like, the one I saw was like, it was like a... was like a knee bar or something like that he was like that Goldberg attempted or something, and he's just like, he's like, great knee bar, bro.
Yeah,
you're killing me.
I think Matt Riddle has like the perfect, he's still a little rough around the edges mic wise, but he has the perfect mix of authenticity. Like, we know he's like a family man. Athleticism, like, he puts on 6-star matches, and he puts on as good of matches as anybody else. He has that UFC background, so you know he's a real fighter, which we know is a proven thing. Ronda, Brock,
right.
Dan Severn, all the great. No, Shamrock, these guys always ported really over to like wrestling real well.
Angle.
Yeah, and he's got a great look.
Yeah.
He looks awesome. And I think he could also, he's got to put on shoes.
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 Just for the fact that it'll give him another inch of height.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like get him bigger. I think he should start putting on a little bit of weight.
A little, Jesus, man. He's huge, though, already.
He's big, but I'm saying he could beef up a little. Get him. Dude,
you would add some carbs to his diet.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Beef him up a little.
He's very lean.
He's really
like 100% pure muscle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I mean, this Goldberg-Taker match, one of the worst things I've ever seen. I can't remember that being that uncomfortable watching a wrestling match in a long time.
Oh, he is pretty lean.
When it's unsafe, it's scary. You know, like watching it. And these are two older gentlemen who are just putting their lives on the line for a match. It's very uncomfortable.
So, anyway, let's talk about... This tracks over to my thought on Dominion for a second. So, New Japan Dominion. For the people who are not big New Japan listeners, and I intend to... I watch New Japan. Mm-hmm. I don't watch it religiously. Again, I'm on record as saying that I can't find a rhythm. Like, I can't find my New Japan rhythm. You know, like, these events are popping out of nowhere. The only thing I know is that Wrestle Kingdom is, like, the third of the year.
Right.
Like, I know it's something like that. So
it's hard to keep track of. And even if you watch it, because I was watching it on Fridays on Access on cable. It's moving to Saturdays. But even then, you're still always a couple weeks behind. So you already know the outcome before
it's not the current
it
product.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, that's what I'm saying. What New Japan has going for them is their visibility on Instagram or whatever. So I'm already ahead of the storylines to watch a show that's like 3 weeks old. Right. But I can't. So like New Japan, by the way, they have two Instagram accounts. The Japanese account is verified. The English one is not verified, which is confusing. It's not. Right. It's not clear that it is actually theirs. The Japanese. So if you follow it, it doesn't give you a good sense of what's happening. So when it feels like just a bunch of separate events, that's why I end up. Like I know, you know, like the Super Juniors. Like I know these tournaments are coming up, but I would wish that like they should have brackets in my face
right.
all the time and brackets and I should be see. I'm on wrestling social media like a lunatic. I should see brackets and dates
yeah.
all the time. Anyway, that being said, I watched Dominion and I'll talk about Dangerous. Kota Ibushi Woo. And Naito.
Yeah.
Great match, obviously. They had a spot on the ring apron where Naito gave a German suplex to Kota Ibushi onto the apron. It either was meant to do what it was, but I imagine it was supposed to be just a... The impact was supposed to be on the actual apron. Hardest part of the ring. I don't know if you know
right.
that, but hardest part of the ring.
That's right.
Hardest part of the ring. Blessed be the food, hardest part of the ring. blessed be the food, hardest part of the ring. But instead, Kota Ibushi's just the back of his... Oh, like the side of his head hits.
Yeah, the worst part. Yeah.
I mean, that was more dangerous than anything I saw from Taker and Goldberg, yeah. to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care that these are younger guys in shape. Like, I don't want to see that.
No.
Right?
It was really scary.
So that, you know, there it's I'm just saying, in general, who's to say, like, the younger guys are also doing shit. That makes me queasy, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, it is almost like an arms race for, like, who can do the, like... Because there is, like, people see WWE as, like, PG, or they don't do the fucking the moves anymore.
Right.
And then, so then, like, the NJPW necessarily answers by being strong style, you know, and they do shit that's, like, even more risky. Like, every time they do one of those fucking dragon suplexes from the top, turnbuckle.
Yeah, I don't need that. That Kenny Okada spot, that one from the first match.
Yeah,
one of them could have been dead, like easy. Yeah. Like, why are they doing that shit?
Right, because I mean, like an arms race. It's like they're trying. It's like not
the same thing happened with the half pipe at the X Games. Right. You know about like they had a big problem where they kept making the half pipe getting bigger
the
and
edges
bigger,
getting taller, yeah.
taller.
The
and then that guy, you know, Kevin Pierce is his name. You yeah. don't know his name. But he was better than Shaun White and is paralyzed. You know, he has traumatic brain injury.
Right.
He can, you know, he just, whatever.
Career's over.
There's a documentary on him, right?
Yeah.
There's a documentary. But I'm saying, so it's like this arm, you're talking about this arms race.
Yeah.
I'm not saying wrestling shouldn't be dangerous and these guys aren't professionals and like we should hold them back. But I'm saying the dangerous stuff is not just the old guys wrestling.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's dangerous for different reasons.
Right.
Old guys wrestling is dangerous. If the particular old guys wrestling don't have the control or strength to do the moves,
right.
The young guys doing dangerous shit is like a fucking dick measuring contest, essentially, right. As far as like, you know, hurting each other, almost killing each other
right.
for the pop.
So like, let's make, I hope that,
it's both ego.
I hope it's not like this thing now we end, like we start talking about WWE wrestling being soft, right?
Right.
Because like they're
soft style.
They're protecting their talent. I mean, NXT style wrestling, there's still no pile drivers in NXT, right?
Right.
We're not entertained over there.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, let's get to some lighter stuff, which is so like Dominion. So look, I've watched New Japan stuff before, but we're in this zone now after a post D-O-N, right? Mm-hmm. Like a post Double or Nothing zone where something has changed for everyone. I noticed it.
Yes.
Right? We're in this era now where, I was thinking deep about it. I was like, I'm watching New Japan. I've watched New Japan before, but why am I even more into it than before? Why am I? And it's because after Double or Nothing, what they successfully did was made us all feel like WWE is not necessarily the major leagues.
Right?
It's a minor tweak in your brain that makes a massive difference, right?
Yeah.
So think about it in terms of like that if in the NFL they could show you that the best quarterback is playing somewhere else.
Right.
Right? And that the equivalent would be, and then maybe one of those teams could beat the Patriots. Right. They might be able to. They might. We're not sure, but they might. It's like, oh, you're thinking about that matchup? That's all it takes to make you, to take WWE down a serious peg, especially when their product is literally rated and geared towards children.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the WWE, a lot of it was like, I mean, for me anyway, it felt like a veil was lifted.
Absolutely.
A little bit. And it was like, you know, I think that just by there being another option that isn't like Ring of Honor, which I'll never watch because of who they're owned by, and
who are they owned by?
Sinclair Broadcasting, which is a literal far right propaganda. It's like, we can talk about
like Saudi part.
Yeah, we can talk about Saudi Arabia all day, but this is like a far right propaganda machine that owns them. So it's like, I'm quite all right not watching Ring of Honor.
Okay,
wow. The like everything in
bro,
that,
it's tough. Everything tough in that, David, you, man. You got too many morals for me.
Bro,
you got too many morals.
It is hard. It is.
You
got
to stand for nothing, like me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you stand for nothing, you fall for everything.
Remember that's right. Hey, folks.
So it definitely, like, just by there being another option, where it's like, oh, I don't have to put up with this stuff. It definitely changed it in my
eyes. It's like being in like a toxic relationship and meeting someone who's like better than someone else and being like, oh, I don't have to like deal with this toxic relationship I have with WWE.
It's exactly that. It's like this. It is exactly the metaphor. That's exactly what I was trying to say 2 weeks ago that you said in your economy of words was a lot spicier.
Oh,
but and even spicy didn't help there. That, you know, that word didn't help.
Too much.
It was too much. It was too much. But too many words. We love spicy.
We love words, don't we, folks? We love adding words to sentences that don't belong below.
Yeah. We love filling time. Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, so I'm saying, like, it did this thing where now I'm watching WWE with a way more critical lens and also from this place of, like, hey, guys, there are viable alternatives. So I watched Dominion, and I was like, it's just, it felt different.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Before it was like, I know everyone's telling me this is cool, but it was like watching, the Canadian Football League.
Right.
But it doesn't feel like that anymore, which is fucking great. Now we know this indie scene is a place where wrestlers are going to stay. Very fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's talk about some cool things that happened. I got to keep singing the praise. I said it here. Dean Ambrose is doing work that I'm interested in.
Yeah. Who?
Oh, John Moxley.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Dean
Ambrose. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. I still call him Dean Ambrose.
I actually don't like the name
John Moxley that much.
No.
Mox?
I don't know. Listen, he's not my favorite guy. I don't think I'm going to turn around overnight, but I told you, I try to be as objective as possible. And when I'm watching it, I'm like, he looks fucking awesome. I love the booty shorts. Mm-hmm. He looks instantly better.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
Okay. You can't wrestle in loose jeans and a wife beater. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it looked horrible. Now he looks way more cleaned up. And his song plays. It's got, like, an awesome, like, guitar, like, riff before.
Uh-huh.
Which is, like, what I was like, if I had a wrestling song, I'd be like, I'm like, yo, fuck it. I want someone to shred.
Dean Ambrose had a cool, it was like, that's a guitar riff, right?
No. Now it goes like, like that, you know what I mean? Like Nina Strauss or whatever.
Yeah.
Like that.
Dare I say, seeing him in NJPW is at once surreal, and also, not that NJPW wasn't legitimate, it does, even the presence of, like, Dean Ambrose lends, like, an extra level of, like, oh, this is a viable alternative to, like, what's happening.
Well, he's undeniably important.
Yeah.
Again, arguably, what he represents is more important than him as the guy.
Sure.
But again, that's an argument that I've given shit to Shebs for about Daniel Bryan, where he's like, no, he represents more. I'm not into, like, taking away credits from people. Like, oh, no, I don't want to diminish their I'm not into diminishing success. Like, hey, you're the vessel for the thing. Credit to you. Like, he did leave he left millions of dollars on the table. Like, you know. Anyway, he's there. He wrestled. I'm not crazy about Death Rider. It's a little like that's what he's calling himself and his finisher. The new Dirty Deeds is the Death Rider.
Death Rider.
It looks cool though. It's like kind of like a how I think it's called a crucifix.
Isn't it funny how Jon Moxley does a better Dirty Deeds than Dean Ambrose?
Yes.
Like, how does that work?
Well, he picks him up now.
So why couldn't he do that in WWE?
I think now he's feeling motivated. You know right. what I mean? Like he said, yeah. And anyway, he's doing good work. Good yeah. for him.
All right.
He's the new Japan U.S. champion.
You heard it here, cool.
Now, so I'm saying he's doing good work. I'm not buying any of his merch yet. And by the way, me buying merch is not a tall order. Okay? Yeah, I'm true. Always looking to fucking cop merch, daddy. let's talk about Kota Ibushi. Can I just say, can I bring back Kayfabe for a
yeah,
second?
Yeah, man. I hope you do, because yeah. this guy is hot, man.
I mean, what a gorgeous man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's
He's
almost unfair.
Jacked.
Unfair.
He is a stud.
Yeah.
And so there's a thing going on in New Japan right now where I actually think, like, when all the Bullet Club leaving, like, I actually think it's going to kind of weirdly help New Japan in mm-hmm. a way, because I feel like all the Japanese talent will, like, truly be on display now. And they're going to push guys who are loyal to Japan, which will inevitably be guys who want to keep living in Japan, which will be Japanese people.
Right.
And I believe, like, at Wrestle Kingdom, we'll probably see something like Okada versus Ibushi for the heavyweight championship. And I'll be – that's exciting to me to, like, yeah. see – the Japanese talent do their thing in yeah. their major leagues.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially Okada and Ibushi. I mean, we're talking about two of the sexiest men on planet Earth, let alone...
Gorge.
Let alone... Gorge. I mean, just
gorgeous guys.
Yeah.
Couple of gorgeous guys.
Let's put this in perspective. These are gorgeous men.
Let's put this into perspective for you. These are gorgeous guys. yeah, those guys are studs. And I said this last week, you weren't here. Tell me if you agree.
All right.
I said that I believe the IWGP Heavyweight Championship is the most prestigious wrestling title right now.
It certainly feels that way. And
right.
I don't know if it's... So it's as old...
And I mean, not in lineage. I'm saying not in my opinion, not lineage. Like WWF title yeah. holds that overall. But I'm talking about like right now in the current times.
Right.
There's something about like that. Like Okada to me feels like he's like... weirdly more, not as famous or anything, but he's weirdly like more important and like more of like a donned champion than any WWE champions.
Do you think that that has anything to do with
the gorgeousness?
With how hot he is?
Yeah.
No, you have any, do you think, that, I mean, okay, no, seriously. Do you think it has anything to do with his perfect cheek structure? And
yes.
You know, but
no,
seriously,
honestly, yes.
Seriously this time. The fact that it's presented more as a sport kind of makes the belt seem like, oh, this is a legitimate achievement, perhaps.
So that's another thing that you're bringing up that, like, yeah, I think is also, as AEW started mentioning, oh, we want our show to be more sports, I really started to think about that because I'm like a theater guy. I like pageantry, and I really started thinking about, like, oh, all my favorite things in WWE history were, like, more about, like, just saying suck it and,
yeah.
like, and, like, the beer right. truck and all that. But the reason that they were ahead of me on saying sport is that when they started talking about bringing back the Attitude Era, which WWE is talking about doing, they're yeah. like, we're going to bring back the third hour, you're going to love it, the Attitude Era is back, and maybe Trump will be back, who
oh,
knows,
God.
You might get stunned. They're talking about that. I was like, I don't want the Attitude Era back. Like, you think I'd want that, but like,
yeah.
no, I don't want that. What I want is them to acknowledge that we're in the wrestling era.
Right.
Like now we actually don't have Macho Mans, right? We don't have guys who are like going to pull, like we have Velveteen Dream or whatever, but even he's a wrestler, you know?
Yeah.
There will always be exceptions and there's always room for different kinds of talent. But overall, this is the work rate time. Like if you see a guy like Adam Cole, if he's a guy who's like the future, he's the future of technical, like of like wrestling, of like
right.
work rate, right? Of like putting on 6-star, 5-star matches. Like what I'm saying is sports is the perfect base reality for wrestling to live on. It's to remind people that it's a sport, so that when the wrestling is good, they're feeling it in that same way, that those wins and losses do matter. So when you put on like New Japan,
right,
and you watch, like you're like, oh, this feels like a bout.
Right.
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 there's something about it where you're like, oh, and the match is that, where it's matching more, their layout is matching more of the times. Now, I don't know if that's, I would give them credit that it is by design, but it's just like the natural evolution. For a while, if you were basing it in sport, you'd be missing out on the fun. Mm-hmm. I think now you could do it, because when you watch Jericho in the main event and he starts healing off and bringing the WWE to it, it feels really nice, because it's like, what are you doing? This is a sport.
Right.
What are you doing? This is a sport. It feels closer to like fucking Ron Artest beating up the crowd.
Right. Yes.
As opposed to WWE's become such a fucking...
Circus,
it right? Is. I was going to say dog and pony show, but I don't think that's what I wanted. Mm. Circus is more, right?
Yeah. Dog and pony show. Budge.
Yeah. It's more like the circus, that anytime it gets circusy, you're like, yeah, I'm at the circus.
Right.
So then the shock value is all gone. So when they like, Braun Strowman's going to beat something, like, if Jericho decided to like destroy a car, you'd be like, oh my God.
Right.
I can't believe it. I'm at a Tyson fight, and one of the fighters, it's more like Tyson biting the ear.
Yeah.
Like that's what they're recreating, that moment.
Yes. That's such a great point. Right. I never thought of it that way, where it is like, it's like sports is the base reality, which is in comedy and improv comedy, the you have to establish the rules and what is normal in this world. And then when you start to break those rules in interesting ways, that's where the comedy comes from. So it's the same exact thing.
Yeah. And I think actually this is all, if I'm thinking about it, and I'm really like in my head about wrestling right now, like I've ignored all my notes, but this is like where I'm living now. Is it like the theory spot of like, what's going on here? Because this is like a change. And I'm like, I think John Cena's exit was massive.
Yeah.
Like he left overnight, and like what he was doing, he made WWE work.
Right.
And like, if you don't have a John Cena, you don't have that guy who's going to like sell the vitamins, drink your milk model of WWE. Well, then the next not coolest, but most popular thing will take over, which is the wrestling.
Right.
Which is like everything else going on. But yeah.
So. I just think I really still get the sense. So I got this sense maybe a year ago, and I probably even said it on the podcast, that like wrestling is crescendoing into the mainstream again, and that sort of trajectory just keeps building and building and building and building. I think we really are on the verge of like some major shift back.
The fall is going to be different. I mean, they're going to move to WWE's going to move to Fox. Yeah. They're already saying they're going to be more adult. You know, they're going to, and AEW's catching on, and their shit's covered in blood. You know, like we saw a coat, like Dustin, he's blading.
Yeah.
We've seen blading is already precedented in AEW.
TNT.
A league that does not exist yet.
TNT is already tweeting about Fighter Fest and how to watch it. And like, so they're like already marketing AEW.
Yeah.
So it's anyway, let's talk. Let me just say a couple things about. Did I miss anything I wanted to say? Oh, I just want to say this must watch match of the week. That's a thing that I just created right now. That sounds, if you're a first time listener, sounds like a segment we have. but is Will Ospreay versus Dragon Lee?
Man,
Dragon Lee had my favorite spot of all of Dominion. Where he does a suicide dive through the ropes, but so fast.
Yes.
And so far. They go, and that's another thing, you're talking about the sport. There's like, New Japan is loaded with fake announce tables.
Yes.
Not announce tables, like news outlets.
Yeah.
Right? Like sitting around. Now, I don't know if they're fake, to be honest.
They might be real.
Sure.
Like, I feel like you could tune into a fucking ham radio and they would have, like, somebody broadcasting.
Or, like, someone from a newspaper there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's always somebody doing something.
Tokyo Sun.
And they're always in the line of fire. Like when you watch in NFL, you know how I talk about sports? When you watch in NFL.
Because you watch a lot of the NFL.
During an NFL bout. Yeah. You know, when during an NFL bout, right, when two teams are matching up for the win, during an NFL game, like when one of those guys who hold
the pylons,
they just get like
murdered.
Somebody on the pylons
decleated.
Yeah. And it's always some like fucking 40-year-old white guy who gets very hurt.
He's like, I'm okay.
He's not hurt.
Yeah. With a fucking $12,000 camera. Like, oh, no, I'm fine.
Yeah. And he's like, hey, it's cool. What's up, man? Yeah. I'm going to tell my son I touched you. You know what I mean? But anyway, so Dragon Lee just flew into Osprey.
That was crazy.
I mean, what did he fly? Like 10 feet?
At least he clears the fucking barricade.
It's like he shot vertical. literally yeah. looked like he was shot out of a cannon.
Yeah.
The speed he went across from the ring to completely on the other side of the barricade.
And it was like
wild.
It was like a suicide dive spear.
A suicide dive spear.
Yeah.
It's funny because like right before that, Will Ospreay did a like in the ring cartwheel backflip over the ropes onto his feet like outside the ring. And that shit is literally like I bananas.
Yeah.
But like I pop so much more for like anything that's spear based.
Yeah.
Like, just like throwing your full weight into another human being is so nuts to me.
Yeah. There was kind of a, if I remember correctly, I would have to go back on Twitter and find it. But when Ricochet did that front flip out of the ring onto the ramp, him and Ospreay were going back on Twitter and like Ospreay had said something like, now I have to figure out how to top this. And I'm willing to bet that what we saw on Dominion was like the result of him like, how do I top what he did in that.
So I want to say something about Ospreay look, for years we're watching him. He's
aerial assassin, baby.
Outstanding. Like outrage. He has all the talents to be a major star. But I just want to say, why is his matches never feel like important? Mm. You know, like if we've seen him for a while, they haven't been able to he's not doing enough story work. There's not enough character work. This guy should already be the biggest star in wrestling for what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, who knows?
I keep being like, hey, why are his matches continually just the middle of the show? This guy should be headlining these shows. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't think it's the acrobatics getting in the way. So I looked more and I followed him on Instagram and he actually did. I posted one of his clips and he like re-grammed it. So he's not like I'm special. He probably just is really good at social media. Yeah. But he's like holding some fucking sword that I don't know what that is. It looks like a trophy. You know what that? He's wearing a mask. I can't figure out, but I know he's doing the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I don't really know who he is, but he's been like viral for years.
Right.
So I know, I just don't know what his personality and his.
Well, like him and Ricochet.
He might benefit from going to WWE, to be honest.
Him and Ricochet.
NXT?
Yeah.
Oh, NXT would be great for him.
Yeah. But him and Ricochet for a long time were sort of like
out about Ricochet.
Yeah, they were like the Sigmund and Freud.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. The Sigmund and Freud.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
the Carl and Jung.
Couple of tigers. The Carl and Jung.
Yeah. The Tony and Robbins.
I love their Vegas show.
Yeah.
They're like Cirque du Soleil guys. But okay, last thing I'm going to say about Dominion is I really like cursing in heel promos. I know that it doesn't feel like I do. Yeah. I didn't think it, but Jericho cursing felt very good to me. But not just the fact that he's cursing, because you could argue me like take out fuck and stuff, take out those words. But I love the healing off where he just was like calling Japan a bullshit country. he was going very far.
Yeah, I don't like swearing in promos.
I think it's cool because it's in their base reality, it's a fight and he lost and is very frustrated and is like in his being his worst self.
Right. The kind of swearing I don't like is like when Bad Luck Fale, when he did that fuck 'em thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, that is not intimidating. Like somebody that size.
No, it's also maybe just because Jericho's so good.
Yeah. Saying fuck 'em and it's like,
he wiped his dick with Okada bucks.
Yeah.
He picked him up off the ground and was like, yeah, fuck you, Okada.
Yeah, I mean.
By the way, can I just say one thing I read that I think is so cool? Japanese fans. So Okada, Jericho beats the shit out of Okada after the match, right? And then Tanahashi came to save him or whatever. So normally at the end of a big show, whoever wins gives a speech, right? Which I've been critical of those. He didn't do it because he was down.
Yeah,
they said a lot of Japanese people asking for refunds.
Whoa.
Because it's a tradition they broke.
Refunds.
Wow. Just being like, hey, I didn't get the topper.
I mean, that's a little bit like eating your entire steak dinner except for the broccoli and being like, I want to send this back to the kitchen.
I'm sorry, you didn't like that 6-star match? I mean, Ibushi almost died in front of you. You didn't like that?
No, No, traditions.
Yeah,
traditions are like critical.
I mean, yeah, I guess over there
in their
probably,
culture. Yeah.
Man, I didn't get any Raw and SmackDown yet.
I mean,
that might just be the way it goes from now on.
Honestly, I mean, we listen. This is new times, man. Like, yeah. we are in a zone right now. Like, I watch New Japan and like, this, but okay, the Raw stuff and SmackDown. I have stuff. It's a lot. It's hate to be a swampy crowd member, but it's a lot of same old shit.
Yeah,
it's a lot of same old shit. A lot of pancakes. Yep. I mean, there's some good stuff, but even the Firefly Funhouse, I'm less excited about. I'm like, it's time to. Where's this going? What
I have
are we
a
doing?
Small tweak for the Firefly Funhouse.
Yeah,
and for Bray Wyatt.
Is maybe he should be a wrestler?
He should wrestle.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Is the main
I'd be
thing.
Into that.
Although I trust him, he tweeted something out yesterday.
Yeah, I trust him so much. Yeah. You
and
know
he
that.
Was
big
like,
mark.
He was like, he tweeted something like, he's like, I'm glad I've made you smile, but don't forget like what I'm capable of. And he's like, it's all going to change soon. He's like, trust
oh,
me.
Yeah. No,
I
yeah,
trust
yeah.
him.
We might see him at Stomping Grounds, is my guess.
My one tweak, and it's so small, don't refer to the character, to the mask character as Fiend.
Right.
Refer to it as The Fiend.
I thought that was weird that they were leaving out the.
Because he, on social media, says, I have Fiend.
I know.
But in Firefly Funhouse, he says, The Fiend. That needs to be... It seems so little.
Consolidated.
But it needs to be more consistent and just go with The Fiend.
So you want it to be the proper noun to be The Fiend?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's still he's still Bray Wyatt and The Fiend is something else. If he's Bray Wyatt and also Fiend, then I'm like, well, just be a new wrestler called Fiend.
Right.
That's all. Small thing.
Okay, we got to talk about one more thing at least.
Yowie wowie.
Yowie wowie. Daddy, yowie, wowie, daddy. Wow, man, the cold brew is spicy. Oh, man, I came from an audition.
Yeah, oh, shit, so you're double, yeah, you're buffed right now.
Oh, man.
Yeah, plus five charisma, plus five strength.
There's nothing funnier to me that when I go to Santa Monica, which is like an hour or something drive sometimes.
Might as well be Pluto.
Right.
Yeah.
Drive all the way there, get to the audition. Get in there, they're like, oh, yeah, we'll see you right now. Go in, read three lines two times.
Yeah.
So it takes less, sometimes 6 minutes, I want to say. Yeah. And then I go back in my car and do the same drive back.
Oh,
like,
God.
I had no, it's almost like I had no business.
I
delivered a package that there was no package.
You drove to the beach, threw a rock into the ocean, got back in your car and went home.
I literally get there and then I go like, well, with Verizon, that's not going to happen to you. What? Okay. They're like, all right, let's do one more. All right. With the Verizon, that's not going to happen to you. Hey, great job. Yeah. Awesome. See you later.
Maybe one more. Maybe one more. Have fun with it. You know, with Verizon, forget about it.
Forget it, man. All right. Anyway, Daddy. Oh, my God. I might be dead. All right. Hold on.
Now shake those hips.
This song, he has no rhythm in this song.
Pull up your pants.
It's not even, to be honest.
Is that our truth?
It's not good. No, it's Bray Wyatt.
Oh.
It's from you did not see Firefly Funhouse?
I didn't see that part.
Bro,
I didn't
watch
see that one either.
It.
I was on the road.
You guys have to. It's the best Firefly Funhouse. It had like a Vince McMahon puppet and everything.
Oh, I did see the stills and gifs of the puppet.
Yeah, it was great.
I've just been in a fucking time warp for the last
Ditto.
3 weeks.
Anyway, listen, guys. I don't have time for your time warp, okay? Mm-hmm. There's more wrestling to talk about, okay?
No more Mr. Nice Jew!
He's such a hard Jew there, he says. But anyway, I want to talk to you about Velveteen Dream's Instagram post.
All right, yeah.
Okay, so Velveteen Dream took to his stories, specifically, if you want to look at this, and did kind of a cool... He used story to tell a story,
yeah.
To be honest. I think he might have used it for the in the proper way.
Yeah.
But so anyway, he basically criticized, I guess he basically stood up for WWE, right? That's how I'd put it.
Yeah.
And the creative process of WWE by saying stuff like, hey, if you get writing, don't complain that they write for you. Do the best with your writing. He cited a bunch of wrestlers who have, overcome shitty writing by just like leaning in 1,000%. And then, like Damian Sandow, who's been on the podcast here and talked about that. He was on the podcast. Go check it out back in the archive eps. He came in and was saying how they like wanted to give him a tutu. And he was like, fine, give me the tutu. Make it as pink as possible. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and he's like, I'll go for it. So we know this behavior. He also said, like, hey, name me one TV show where the actors get to control the writing. I'll wait.
Yeah.
You know, and essentially it was like, there's a lot going on behind. Professional wrestling is kayfabe's dead. You should be able to get over on your own and do it. Okay. That's the sentiment. So, cool. My thought on this from looking at it, couple things. I thought that, first off, I half agreed with him. Mm-hmm. I think his points were good. I think truly, it's truly a case-by-case basis. You know what I mean? In my mind, I think there are wrestlers who, I mean, Dean is the guy I always pointed to, who are like just blaming WWE, even though they had like a pretty good go there, and they had some, but I think also part of it rubbed me the wrong way, and maybe he's just trying to get that kind of, that heel heat, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? But like diminishing the experience of these like wrestlers who were being honest, and they're kind of making themselves vulnerable because there's one major place to work that they are burning a bridge with. And I think also, and when I think about what he's actually saying is Sandow. He mentioned Sandow, Eugene, Santino Marella.
Triple H, Doink.
Did he mention Triple H?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see Triple H, but yeah, Triple H. He mentioned those guys.
Glenn Jacobs.
A lot of these wrestlers... I think if you talk to them, would say like, I didn't get at all to where I didn't have a good run at all. I didn't like what I did at all. Like, I made it work the best I could, but I had so much more to offer.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now, you could make the argument that that's like any job, right? Any job, you don't get the spot you want. I get that. But there's also part of me from the thing I said last week that like, I think it's an easy metaphor and kind of an easy counter argument to say, to equate wrestlers with actors.
Right.
And I don't think it's the same thing. I think they're more artists than an actor whose job is to be a vessel for writing.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think wrestlers, it's more of a, because this is a live show in front of a live crowd.
Right.
That, and the crowd is part of it. So if there's no fluidity there and it's extremely rigid, that's actually a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. It also, I mean,
as a performer, I know that
it defies categorization,
right?
You know, which is what makes wrestling so special as a medium. It's yeah, they're not actors, they're not exactly stunt men, and they're not exactly they're athletes.
Yeah,
but it's just, you can't really box, and there's no way to one to one this. Comedian is like the closest thing,
right?
That it gets to.
I just think like, this thing is more delicate and it's more nuanced, and I think the criticism is very valid. I think it's complicated. Wrestling is an extremely weird, made-up kind of entertainment,
right?
That doesn't fit into any boxes. So what you do with talent is really complicated. So a take on either end of the spectrum is wrong.
Right.
So like his take that like, take what you get, you shouldn't like blah, 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 is wrong. It's wrong. The same way that the opposite argument is wrong.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, the answer is in the middle, especially on complicated issues, just like politics, right? Like, a lot of these things that like, I'm taking a hard stance here is just to play politics, but we all know, like, they all know the answer a lot of times is in the middle. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, where all the South Park comedy comes from. You know what I mean? Where it's like, hey, you're both fucking morons, and right. You know this is it. So, I don't know. I think that, I think this was also a very short-sighted thing for him to do. Who cares, because it's wrestling? So, like, whatever. It's actually, I don't think it's like a bad move for his career. Mm-hmm. But he's also in the cocoon of NXT.
He's
actually
homegrown.
One of the very fortunate talents who has the experience of being young enough to get in, where he could stay in NXT long enough and be under Triple H, who many people regard as the bridge between the indie world and the Vince McMahon main roster world.
Yeah.
He is in the extreme sweet spot. This kind of comes from a place, I'm not saying he's a privileged man by any means, I'm not like talking about that, but I'm saying he actually is in a really lucky, unique spot where he's at the fucking baseline of NXT, which is the bridge.
Mm-hmm. And I think though he too, I mean, but I have to kind of, I think where it's coming from for him is the fact that I think on paper, he's in the same boat where the gimmick that they gave him is like one where it's an uphill battle, and he has.
Did they give him that gimmick? Do you know that?
As far as I know, before he was the Velveteen Dream, he had a like pro Trump, like MAGA like gimmick that he was trying out. Yes.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Like a Kanye thing?
Yeah, but before Kanye, it was like, it was when he was still just, he wasn't even on TV yet, and he was just Patrick Clark.
Wow.
So I don't know if they gave him this or if it was like his idea. But if they gave him it, then he's sort of in the same boat as these guys that he was, which is probably, I assume they gave it to him, and I assume that's where this is coming from.
Right. I actually don't really know. I don't know. I mean, I know, look, I'm a massive fan.
Yeah.
So I trust his word. I don't pretend to be a professional wrestler or know what it's like, but I know that he is, I know that he's partially diminishing what other wrestlers are saying, and I think that the actor wrestler metaphor is dangerous. Mm-hmm. I think it's not right.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like a scripted show. You're saying comparing a scripted show to what these guys do. Literally, it's live television, and it's so many elements. Like the crowd is a part of. That's what it is. It's like you could do Rent live, right? But the crowd. It's shunned upon the crowd to hold up signs, tackle, like change the vibe entirely, and you got to stick to a script.
And it's not like the crowd is going to be like cheering for one character so much in Rent that like the next time Rent goes up, there's more parts for that character,
right?
You know, more lines,
right?
More songs,
more songs.
Oh man, yeah, totally. I mean, he's doing great work. No criticism to the Dream. All right, Before we go, we'll take a cash in, and then I'm gonna skim stuff from Raw. All right, I know the stuff I want to talk to about Raw and SmackDown. I don't even need to talk about any of the Seth Rollins stuff. I think this was a good week for Seth Rollins. He looked really good.
He looked so good.
He looked hot this
week.
He's
got delicious.
Yeah, but I mean, come on, man. If you're built like Seth Rollins, why are you ever wearing a shirt? I don't care if you have to sell it. If I was built
but
like
he wasn't wrestling. He wasn't wrestling in a shirt.
I don't give a shit.
What?
He comes out.
Seeing him take it off.
He comes out in a shirt all the time.
All right.
That's okay.
He's selling. I mean, I love merch.
I
don't like that shirt.
I get that. But if I'm Seth Rollins and they're like, here, kid, wear your shirt so you can sell them, I'd be like, fuck you. Fuck
never
you.
Never wear a shirt.
These titties are going to be out.
All right, we're going to talk about three things from Raw and SmackDown, okay?
Right. Okay. Right.
These are three things.
All right. I said Rollins. This was his first cool week. I want to talk about Shane McMahon, who I think is actually doing a good job.
Oh.
So here's the thing. Okay? Okay. Shane McMahon is, for some reason, extremely muted now. Like, he's extremely, like, he's, like, he can't, his face is less expressive. Like, he can't, like, the youthful Shane was very lively and could really command a crowd. Right now, he's a little behind. Now, it's probably from taking a lot of bumps. So, I don't really love his performance, but. From a writing and storytelling perspective, he keeps eking out these wins. He's calling himself the best in the world, but he's not the best in the world.
No.
But he does keep winning and using his privilege to get it. Yeah. Like, he literally beat Miz in a cage match where the shirt slipped off. He got that lucky. You know what I mean? He beat Miz on a technicality at WrestleMania where he fell on him. And then he keeps calling himself the best in the world. Like, and then he's got the money where he showed up. He had a celebration on SmackDown. He's drinking out of the best in the world cup. He literally calls Elias the greatest acquisition in SmackDown history, which I absolutely love that that's still a thing. And he's got a guitarist. He's got a big fucking enforcer. Yeah. He's got and he comes out and he's just this rich kid.
He's got a bard. He's got a barbarian.
Right.
Yeah.
He's got the fellowship.
Yeah.
He's got the whole fellowship. There's just something about in writing, and then he has an enemy in Miz, which is they're not even feuding right now, but Miz fucking hates him, and he's going around to make it. Greg Hamilton is his fucking announcer slave or whatever, you know what I mean? And he's and then when he does the best in the world, he's not doing it right.
Yeah.
But it does have that Hannibal Lecter, you know, and he's playing the classical music.
Yeah, he's loving it.
Yeah, there's just something about it. Well, I'm saying McMahons are very valuable in professional wrestling, but not when they're half-assed involvement.
Right.
Like For example, Stephanie put out a .com exclusive, right?
Where she's
like, what Brock Lesnar did to the case was reprehensible.
So
and then she doesn't even show up, and it's nothing.
That's dropped. It's been dropped, right?
It wasn't even picked up. It was just...
Right?
Yeah.
Any kind of cash grab, rating grabs with McMahon's does not work for me. But whatever you want to say about Shane, he is a McMahon. He is jacked up. He does spots. He's entertaining. He's there. He's on both shows every week with a consistent storyline. Now, the only thing I want to see is, again, I want to see money exchange hands.
Yeah.
I want to see Shane, like, just giving hundreds to Drew. You know, like, I want to see the money. I want to see the physical stacks
of money.
Here
comes the money. Yeah, bling, bling.
Yeah, right? Like, I just want to see that. That's all I want. I want to see money. And I want to see him before. I wouldn't even care if he won the title. I want to see him pay the fucking ref. Like, I want to see money.
Yeah. Like $1 Million Man.
Yeah. I'm saying, like, that. So that where it's like, let's define what's actually happening here. But a guy who's getting really lucky. And also, some of his luck is the fact that he's born into luck.
Uh-huh.
And then acting like he's so fucking good. It's classic and it's good. And I think he's doing a decent job. Now, am I like psyched to watch it? No, I'm not psyched to watch anything WWE right now. You know what I mean? Like this week I remembered Rollins is cool.
Right. Shane has, whenever he like starts to talk, it always seems like, this is so specific, but it seems like he just got done eating a sandwich and he's always just sort of like, still just like, just dealing with the fact that he just got done chewing, and he's just sort of like, he's like, all right,
yes.
All right. So, here's what we're going to talk about. I don't know.
Yeah. I think he's definitely, I agree.
You know,
sandwich
he's
definitely, mouth.
There's something he's like, just got done being preoccupied with something.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, okay, here's the biggest thing. He has his tag team, the Revival, and he's like, being like, hey guys, go win a match and then I'll grease your palms like that. And then he's getting Roman over. Like he's getting booed and Roman's getting cheered.
Right.
That's no small feat. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying it's working, but it's definitely same old shit territory, right? Like, let's see what Elias has got. Let's see Drew McIntyre. But I'm just saying, technically, it works. Yeah. And it's some of their better writing in a long time.
Yeah. Despite themselves.
Right. Okay. The other thing I want to bring up, Lacey Evans. She really needs to work on making that gimmick more believable. Like, she looks like $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
I love her. She's jacked. She's a championship material.
I really like her.
But right now, it's a little like, oh, Becky talking to a fucking Halloween. Like, she's at the spook walk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, the woman who's like, do you have your tickets like to get in?
Yeah.
It's like.
I was left at Pearl Harbor. Yeah. And I'm a ghost now.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like. She's like, oh, a real woman. It's like, she has to find a way to be like, this is my actual lifestyle.
Yes. Right.
Like, you see women, and I'm saying women specifically here, but you see women who, like, live that, like, southern, like, it's almost, what's her gimmick? Like, I lean it more towards, like, Republican.
Traditional woman.
As opposed to, like, a weird Carmen Sandiego.
Right. She's like, she's like a...
like she shot money, which was weird. Remember? Like,
yeah.
All, and then like when she was cutting the promo, it's like, I'm a real one. A lady only goes first. It should be like, it's got to be more real.
Yeah. Or so you want like lean more into like the sort of like Cotillion, like manners, like... We always end up in this place. What is a gimmick?
Right.
And what does it mean to like be a character gimmick, a wrestler, right? Like she's sort of a product of a bygone era where it's like, your thing is you are a pinup girl, you're a garbage man, you're a this, you're a that, right? So it's like, how do you be a character like that and then also make it believable?
Well, I mean, like she's doing things, she's like wiping her head like really slow and like ladylike, and you're like, dude, it could be less presentational. Like,
right.
It could be like more like, hey, you actually make me believe you actually use a cloth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I think it's more, she just needs to loosen up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think she'd do it because It's just a little stiff. She has a little bit of Cass syndrome right now.
Ooh. Yeah. She is very green, though. I don't think she's been wrestling for a long time at all.
She's very good, though.
She's really good.
I love her speaking voice. Like, listening to her talk makes me something about it. I love it.
No, she's championship material. She's very fucking good.
But it could be more like...
Well, she has kind of like a smoky voice, too. It's like kind of like... It's
like,
good.
This week she was staring into a mirror, you know, like just like... patting her head. I'm like, have her be in the mirror and have her woman be there getting her dolled up, and then she's like, you're doing it wrong, and then the camera comes in, she's like, oh hey camera, like like that's real, right that's real. It's like, oh, like you know what I mean, she's like very mean to the help, like something like that. But right now she's literally like I'm supposed to believe that in her locker room when the like she like pampers herself really slow and weird.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
I like how after the match she pulled her handkerchief out of her shorts. Like, she pulled it out of her front. I thought that was funny.
I don't want to lose any of the gimmickry. I'm saying what she just needs to do is to do it all in way, do it more subtle.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is hard to do in wrestling.
Make it seem like that's who she really is.
Yes.
You know?
And I don't know if it really is her. You know, I don't know. It
doesn't matter.
I get the sense that it is pretty close
you
to
think?
Her.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. All
right, last thing I want to talk about, and then we'll hit a cash in and get out of here, is Aleister Black.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Aleister Black has been cutting these... He's not there. He's been cutting these promos in a black void.
Yeah.
But now that we've now know is a room.
Yes,
we know it's not. He's not in the abyss.
Yeah,
he doesn't live
room,
in the abyss. He is in a...
dressing room.
Either just, just a dark room.
With the lights off.
He's in the fifth dimension. He's where Stardust used to be.
And he's there and he cuts promos and I'm like, where is he going with this? Where is he going with it? Seems like where he's going is that he's like, I just want to fight someone, right? He's like, it doesn't have to be for titles. It doesn't have to be very petty. It's just like, open my door is open. And I think personally... Wait, what's that?
What's going on?
Aleister Black music. I know. Should you play that? Did you put that on? No?
No.
It's strange.
Oh my god. Oh, wait, wait.
God.
Aleister Black! He just raised up from underneath the table.
Oh my god.
This is unbelievable. Wow.
Holy shit.
A little early, Inosha. A little early.
Wow.
Oh my god. Hold on. I like this part of your song. You mind if I just let me rock out for a sec?
Yeah.
Nino, 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 Nino. Are you my friend? Okay. Aleister Black, oh my god, it's a pleasure to have you here in studio.
Thank you for having me.
Look, I got a lot of questions for you.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, wow. I'm sorry. Okay, do you want them?
No. Look.
Yeah.
Okay. Will it bother you if I don't let you ask your question?
No, I don't want to mess with you, man. I don't want to hit a black mass.
Yeah, you don't.
A damn black mass.
You
we don't
want
to hit black mass.
A damn black mass. I'm here for one reason and one reason only.
Okay, what is it?
I'm tired of having to ask people to come and fight me. So I'm going to give you even more options. If you don't want to come and knock on my door.
Yeah, because on SmackDown, you literally, I thought you were in the black void of space or something. Turns out you were just in a room?
I am in what is normally a boiler room in whatever venue I'm performing in.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah, so, and then they open the door.
They
had some kind of traditional door with a classic knob lock situation.
It's not hard to find me.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you were like, somebody come fight me. And no one answered.
No one ever answers.
That's right. So you want to give more options?
Yes. Apparently, finding my door that's labeled with my name is too hard. So if you want to fight me
and
find out what I'm all about.
Yeah.
Hit me up on Facebook Messenger.
Oh.
I'm Aleister Black. At facebook.com.
Oh, okay. So you, I mean...
Send me an emoji.
That's not very exciting, man. Like, none of us as wrestling fans could see that. We want to see the genesis of these feuds. You want to just... Someone's going to just shoot you a message on there? Like, hey, let's fight, dude.
I will take that. Please. No one's knocking on my door. No one's sending me text messages. I've been picking up seasonal shifts at Lululemon. Come find me during my shift ask me to fight somebody, please.
Wait, so you've been working at Lululemon waiting for a fight?
Yes, I'm making
that's
myself.
Tremendous work ethic by you because you're on WWE payroll.
Yes.
But you're still, you're like, hey, right, whatever, that's passive income apparently.
Lululemon offers benefits for part-time employees.
Oh, okay.
Not something that that's WWE
bonus,
yeah. does.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably taking up a lot of your time. I mean, if somebody answers your fight, are you going to fight them in person, though? Are they going to fight them in the ring?
It'll happen in the sports bra section of Lululemon.
No, that's the way it has to happen. I mean, Alistair, I'm not sure anybody wants to see you wrestle at. I mean, I'd watch it, but I don't think anybody's going to be able to see you wrestle in a Lululemon. We watch WWE on Monday nights, Tuesday nights, sometimes Sunday nights.
Look, I understand that. I'm just trying to tell you, I'm around. Okay, you can come and fight. Anybody can come and fight me at any time. Please, I'm dying to fight.
Wait, hold on. I just got a notification on my computer. Wait, you? I just got a LinkedIn request from you?
Yes. Connect with me on LinkedIn. If you don't, you will still get emails every week.
It says, would you like to fight me at a Lululemon?
Yes. Please accept my connection on LinkedIn.
All right, I did. I accepted it.
Okay. Also, I'm on WhatsApp.
Okay, WhatsApp? Wow. I mean, WhatsApp's for, like, Europeans, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Am I not?
Yeah. You're going inner.
Wait, you are European. Yeah, you are European. Let me ask you something. Why not? You ever think about maybe, you know, coming just having, you know, your song hit and then entering, going down to the middle of the ring, traditionally picking up the, asking the microphone from the timekeeper or maybe JoJo, taking it and then being, hey, who wants to fight me? Let's have that match happen right now.
To be honest, no, I've never thought of that.
Well, that's how it's done. Dude, you're... Oh, my God.
I thought that maybe if I had to invite people to come fight me.
No, it's extremely unconventional. And
well, yeah, that's why, yeah, that's why.
He's casting a wide net.
I'm an unconventional guy.
Oh, okay.
I'm
so
a little
you
bit evil. I'm a little bit good.
Oh,
I'm
my
a little
God.
Bit country. I'm a little bit rock and roll.
Oh, my God. Oh, Alistair, I got to tell you, I'm liking you a lot less right now.
Oh, will
the
you
cool
fight me?
Factors.
No, I mean, I don't want to fight you, though. I've seen what you devastating maneuvers. I've seen them firsthand.
Well, come to my apartment. Hit pound 666. That's my apartment number.
Of course.
I will buzz you in.
Okay, what happens when I get in?
We fight.
Oh, are we going to fight in your apartment? Do you
yes.
have a rig so it'll be go live or anything?
No, I have a studio apartment in Glendale.
Okay. Alistair, you got to go. You got to
go. All right. Look, I'm going to be on Sunset Boulevard between Western and Wilton, probably at the Home Depot. Come and find me. Oh. I'll be there with the day workers.
Oh my God, wow. Alistair.
Please.
Oh, poor guy.
Oh, my God.
Necesito trabajo.
Oh, my God.
Here I go, back in my coffin.
Oh, look, he's sinking.
Oh, there he goes. Oh, wow. My God. I'm seeing through the coffin. It looks like it leads to a Lululemon. That goes
yes.
right to the coffin goes right to Lululemon.
Oh, my God.
This is unbelievable. Wow. Newman, you missed it. Aleister Black just came through.
No.
Yeah,
he's my
you
favorite.
Missed it. Unbelievable. He is your favorite.
Smells like a Hot Topic in here.
Yeah, I know. Hey, listen, we were talking about Hot Topics. All right, look. Erase your mind. Hey, of that joke. Look, let's put one cash in and let's get out of here. Right. What do you say?
Yeah.
It's not like we're going anywhere. People can hit us up on the patreon.com/comedianswrestling, or you check out on Monday. We do our lifestyle episodes. We got a new lifestyle episode dropping on Monday. We're talking about personal fitness. Fucking awesome. So many of you are back in the gym, posting pics on the Facebook page, in the gym, being inspired
That's
by
amazing.
What we're doing here. Unbelievable. Wow. We got a pic of that. Is
that
you?
Yeah, yeah. That's me and Oney Lorcan.
Wow. Look at you both look beautiful, man. Let's hit a cash in.
What's up, Jabroni X? Jesus the Moose here.
Jesus.
But this isn't really about the show. It's more about my wife. How she
my
is a wrestling fan now, thanks to your boy. we're watching E3, and Andrew WK was on there playing his song, and he's that dude that wears the white shirt.
I met him.
She
once.
Looked at me and she told me, "Is that his gimmick?" And I just kept thinking about how she said gimmick, you know. I've never really heard her say that before, so it's pretty cool, you know. And then plus, you know, she loves Elias now, so I got her Elias shirt.
Well, greatest acquisition.
I'm
letting
all the Jabroniacs know it is possible your wife can get into wrestling.
And your father-in-law.
Just, there's hope. All right, take it easy, y'all.
Yeah, well, take it easy, y'all.
Whoa. Jesus. Erase your mind.
Oh my God!
You hit shame
around Mushmore.
Okay, unbelievable. Shame. Let me tell you.
Maybe it was a Bray Wyatt reference.
My recommend. Yeah.
Take Mantua. It easy.
I want to say, I recommend not trying to convince your wives to watch wrestling. It's either something they're going to take to or not. You happen to have a pretty cool wife who's hip to the stuff you're into. Yeah. Hey, by the way, that's not a judgment. Tons of cool wives don't like professional wrestling. It's a very specific hobby. But I'm always loved. I like hearing people getting into it. Listen, the next couple of years and in the fall, people are going to. I'm already getting messages. People like, yo, what's up with AEW? Like, what's going on? And so people are going to start being into it. And let me tell you. One thing I want to say, when the wrestling boom hits hard, we welcome people in.
Yes.
We welcome people to the podcast. We welcome people. Fair weather fans are fine in professional wrestling. This is not fucking, yo, man, I saw that band before they were big. Cut that shit out.
Yeah.
Okay? This is like more the merrier. We want this business to grow. And also, wrestlers, we want them to grow in popularity and get bigger and more mainstream. Only good for pro wrestling, welcome people in. You don't need to have that ego or that. You don't need to feel special in the way you knew someone first.
Right.
You don't own any of these guys. You don't own the fandom of them. Okay, that's behavior. That's sports behavior and pitchfork behavior that we don't need to bring over to professional wrestling. IMO. Okay.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Okay. Great. Anyway, hey, we're gonna head over to Patreon. What do you say?
Let's do it.
So look,
let's go.
We're going to go over to patreon.com/comedianswrestling, and we're going to talk about Fast Five, okay? Mm-hmm. This is requested by one of our patrons. You can join at a certain level. You could choose a movie that we will dissect. We dissect movies with professional wrestlers in them. This one has The Rock, no stranger to the cow movie dissection episodes.
A goateed,
love seeing The Rock.
A goateed Rock.
A goateed, Under Armoured sponsored The Rock.
Yeah.
Before he had his own brand, or you know he'd be in that with the fucking bull right on his chest, and distracting break of kayfabe, a Project Rock shirt.
No doubt.
The man is a business, and also you check out our lifestyle episodes on Monday, and you cash in here. You heard that cash in right there. All you gotta do, you leave us a voicemail, 316-530-2429-316.
530-2429.
Blow my mind. Gabba gabba wee. Yeah, yeah. Hey, wait. Oh, no, the lights went out again.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, wait. All right.
No.
Cut the podcast off. We'll handle this. We'll handle this. Cut the podcast off. Hey, keep watching Wrestling Kisses. Come at me, dude. Come at me. Of wrestling, I listen on Thursday when I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.